No matter who you are, no matter where you've been, and no matter where you are right now, you are welcome here. Welcome to Daily Audio Bible Chronological. I'm Jill. Today is the 21st day of August. Welcome, everyone. It's a joy, an honor, and boy, what a pleasure it is to be in this community with each and every one of you, but to be reading the Word of God. I don't even know what to do with that. To read God's Word for each and every one of you, to be a part of your journey in this capacity is, I'm humbled greatly. I'm grateful. And I'm really loving God's Word and how it speaks to my heart. And I pray and I trust that as we turn it over, we turn the soil over and wrestle through with some of the things that we're reading, that we know that we are seen and loved. There is no shame. There is no condemnation. That the questions produce a deeper knowledge and understanding, and a deeper understanding that we have to trust in what we don't yet know, and that's going to be a lot, and that's okay. We think we need to have all of the answers, but there's great freedom and great humility in admitting I'm not really sure, but boy, I sure will be in it with you, and then being in it with them. So thank you for allowing me this space that is safe and so sweet. Today we're back in the book of Jeremiah, and we're reading chapters 41 through 45. This week we're reading the New English Translation, Jeremiah chapter 41. But in the seventh month, Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah and grandson of Elishama, who was a member of the royal family and had been one of Zedekiah's chief officers, came with 10 of his men to Gedaliah, son of Ahikam, at Mizpah. While they were eating a meal together with him there at Mizpah, Ishmael, son of Nethaniah, and the 10 men who were with him stood up, pulled out their swords, and killed Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, and grandson of Shaphan. Thus Ishmael killed the man that the king of Babylon had appointed to govern the country. Ishmael also killed all the Judeans who were with Gedaliah at Mizpah, and the Babylonian soldiers who happened to be there. On the day after Gedaliah had been murdered, before anyone even knew about it, 80 men arrived from Shechem, Shiloh, and Samaria. They had shaved off their beards, torn their clothes, and cut themselves to show they were mourning. They were carrying grain offerings and incense to present at the temple of the Lord in Jerusalem. Ishmael, son of Nethaniah, went out from Mizpah to meet them. He was pretending to cry as he walked along. When he met them, he said to them, "Come with me to meet Gedaliah, son of Ahikam." But as soon as they were inside the city, Ishmael, son of Nethaniah, and the men who were with him slaughtered them and threw their bodies in a cistern. But there were 10 men among them who said to Ishmael, "Do not kill us, for we will give you the stores of wheat, barley, olive oil, and in honey we have hidden in a field." So he spared their lives and did not kill them along with the rest. Now the cistern where Ishmael threw all the dead bodies of those he had killed was a large one that King Asa had constructed as part of his defenses against King Baasha of Israel. Ishmael, son of Nethaniah, filled it with dead bodies. Then Ishmael took captive all the people who were still left alive in Mizpah. This included the royal princesses and all the rest of the people in Mizpah that Nebuzaradan, the captain of the royal guard, had put under the authority of Gedaliah, son of Ahikam. Ishmael, son of Nethaniah, took all these people captive and set out to cross over to the Ammonites. Johanan, son of Kareah, and all the army officers who were with him heard about all the atrocities that Ishmael, son of Nethaniah, had committed. So they took all their troops and went to fight against Ishmael, son of Nethaniah. They caught up with him near the large pool at Gibeon. When all the people that Ishmael had taken captive saw Johanan, son of Kareah, and all the army officers with him, they were glad. All those people that Ishmael had taken captive from Mizpah turned and went over to Johanan, son of Kareah. But Ishmael, son of Nethaniah, managed to escape from Johanan, along with 8 of his men, and he went on over to Ammon. Johanan, son of Kareah, and all the army officers who were with him led off all the people who had been left alive at Mizpah. They had rescued them from Ishmael, son of Nethaniah, after he killed Gedaliah, son of Ahikam. They led off the men, women, children, soldiers, and court officials whom they had brought away from Gibeon. They set out to go to Egypt to get away from the Babylonians, but stopped at Gareth-Himham, near Bethlehem. They were afraid of what the Babylonians might do because Ishmael, son of Nethaniah, had killed Gedaliah, son of Ahikam, whom the king of Babylon had appointed to govern the country. Then all the army officers, including Johanan, son of Kareah, and Jezaniah, son of Hosheiah, and all the people of every class, went to the prophet Jeremiah. They said to him, "Please grant our request and pray to the Lord your God for all those of us who are still left alive here. For as you yourself can see, there are only a few of us left out of the many that were before. Pray that the Lord your God will tell us where we should go and what we should do." The prophet Jeremiah answered them, "Agreed. I will indeed pray to the Lord your God as you have asked. I will tell you everything the Lord replies in response to you. I will not keep anything back from you." They answered Jeremiah, "May the Lord be a true and faithful witness against us if we do not do just as the Lord your God sends you to tell us to do. We will obey what the Lord our God, to whom we are sending you, tells us to do. It does not matter whether we like what he tells us or not. We will obey what he tells us to do so that things will go well for us." 10 days later, the Lord's message came to Jeremiah. So Jeremiah summoned Johanan, son of Kareah, and all the army officers who were with him, and all the people of every class. Then Jeremiah said to them, "You sent me to the Lord God of Israel to make your request known to him. Here is what he says to you. If you will only stay in this land, I will build you up. I will not tear you down. I will firmly plant you. I will not uproot you, for I am filled with sorrow because of the disaster that I have brought on you. Do not be afraid of the king of Babylon, whom you now fear. Do not be afraid of him, because I will be with you to save you and to rescue you from his power. I, the Lord, affirm it. I will have compassion on you so that he, in turn, will have mercy on you and allow you to return to your land. You must not disobey the Lord your God by saying, 'We will not stay in this land.' You must not say, 'No, we will not stay.' Instead, we will go and live in the land of Egypt, where we will not face war, or hear the enemy's trumpet calls, or starve for lack of food. If you people who remain in Judah do that, then listen to the Lord's message. This is what the Lord of Heaven's armies, the God of Israel, has said. If you are so determined to go to Egypt that you go and settle there, the wars you fear will catch up with you there in the land of Egypt. The starvation you are worried about will follow you there to Egypt. You will die there. All the people who are determined to go and settle in Egypt will die from war, starvation, or disease. No one will survive or escape the disaster I will bring on them. For the Lord of Heaven's armies, the God of Israel, says, 'If you go to Egypt, I will pour out my wrath on you just as I poured out my anger and wrath on the citizens of Jerusalem. You will become an object of horror and ridicule, an example of those who have been cursed and that people use in pronouncing a curse. You will never see this place again. The Lord has told you, people who remain in Judah, do not go to Egypt. Be very sure of this. I warn you here and now. You are making a fatal mistake, for you sent me to the Lord your God and asked me, pray to the Lord our God for us. Tell us what the Lord our God says, and we will do it. This day I have told you what he said, but you do not want to obey the Lord your God by doing what he sent me to tell you. So now be very sure of this. You will die from war, starvation, or disease in the place where you want to go and live. Jeremiah finished telling all the people all these things the Lord their God had sent him to tell them. Then Azariah, son of Hoshaiah, Johanan, son of Kareah, and other arrogant men said to Jeremiah, "You are telling a lie. The Lord our God did not send you to tell us. You must not go to Egypt and settle there. But Baruch, son of Neriah, is stirring you up against us. He wants to hand us over to the Babylonians so that they will kill us or carry us off into exile in Babylon." So Johanan, son of Kareah, all the army officers, and all the rest of the people did not obey the Lord's command to stay in the land of Judah. Instead, Johanan, son of Kareah, and all the army officers led off all the Judean remnant who had come back to live in the land of Judah from all the nations where they had been scattered. They also led off all the men, women, children, and royal princesses that Nebuzaradan, the captain of the royal guard, had left with Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam and grandson of Shaphan. This included the prophet Jeremiah and Baruch, son of Neriah. They went on to Egypt because they refused to obey the Lord and came to Tapanhes. At Tapanhes, the Lord's message came to Jeremiah. Take some large stones and bury them in the mortar of the clay pavement at the entrance of Pharaoh's residence here in Tapanhes. Do it while the people of Judah present there are watching. Tell them that the Lord of heaven's armies, the God of Israel, says, I will bring my servant King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon. I will set his throne over these stones that I have buried. He will pitch his royal tent over them. He will come and attack Egypt. Those who are destined to die of disease will die of disease. Those who are destined to be carried off into exile will be carried off into exile. Those who are destined to die in war will die in war. He will set a fire to the temples of the gods of Egypt. He will burn their gods or carry them off as captives. He will pick Egypt clean like a shepherd picks the lice from his clothing. He will leave there unharmed. He will demolish the sacred pillars and the temple of the sun in Egypt and will burn down the temples of the gods of Egypt. The Lord spoke to Jeremiah concerning all the Judeans who were living in the land of Egypt, those in Migdol, Tapanhes, Memphis, and in the region of southern Egypt. The Lord of heaven's armies, the God of Israel, says, you have seen all the disaster I brought on Jerusalem and all the towns of Judah. Indeed, they now lie in ruins and are deserted. This happened because of the wickedness the people living there did. They made me angry by worshiping and offering sacrifices to other gods whom neither they nor you nor your ancestors previously knew. I sent my servants, the prophets, to you people over and over again, warning you not to do this disgusting thing I hate. But the people of Jerusalem and Judah would not listen or pay any attention. They would not stop the wickedness they were doing, nor quit sacrificing to other gods. So my anger and my wrath were poured out and burned like a fire through the towns of Judah and the streets of Jerusalem. This is why they have become the desolate ruins that they are today. So now the Lord God of heaven's armies, the God of Israel asks, "Why will you do such great harm to yourselves? Why should every man, woman, child, and baby of yours be destroyed from the midst of Judah? Why should you leave yourselves without a remnant? That is what will result from your making me angry by what you are doing. You are making me angry by sacrificing to other gods here in the land of Egypt where you live. You will be destroyed for doing that. You will become an example used in curses and an object of ridicule among all the nations of the earth. Have you forgotten all the wicked things that have been done in the towns of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem by your ancestors, by the kings of Judah and their wives, and by you and your wives? To this day, your people have shown no contrition. They have not revered me, nor followed the laws and statutes I commanded you and your ancestors. Because of this, the Lord of Heaven's armies, the God of Israel, says, I am determined to bring disaster on you, even to the point of destroying all the Judeans here. I will see to it that all the Judean remnant that was determined to go and live in the land of Egypt will be destroyed. Here in the land of Egypt, they will fall in battle or perish from starvation. People of every class will die in war or from starvation. They will become an object of horror and ridicule, an example of those who have been cursed and that people use in pronouncing a curse. I will punish those who live in the land of Egypt with war, starvation, and disease just as I punished Jerusalem. None of the Judean remnant who have come to live in the land of Egypt will escape or survive to return to the land of Judah. Though they long to return and live there, none of them shall return except a few fugitives." Then all the men who were aware that their wives were sacrificing to other gods, as well as all their wives, answered Jeremiah. There was a great crowd of them representing all the people who lived in northern and southern Egypt. "We will not listen to what you claim the Lord has spoken to us. Instead, we will do everything we vowed we would do. We will sacrifice and pour out drink offerings to the goddess called the Queen of Heaven, just as we and our ancestors, our kings, and our leaders previously did in the towns of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem. For then we had plenty of food, were well off, and had no troubles. But ever since we stopped sacrificing and pouring out drink offerings to the Queen of Heaven, we have been in great need. Our people have died in wars or of starvation." The woman added, "We did indeed sacrifice and pour out drink offerings to the Queen of Heaven, but it was with the full knowledge and approval of our husbands that we made cakes in her image and poured out drink offerings to her." Then Jeremiah replied to all the people, both men and women, who responded to him in this way, "The Lord did indeed remember and call to mind what you did. He remembered the incense you and your ancestors, your kings, your leaders, and all the rest of the people of the land offered to other gods in the towns of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem. Finally, the Lord could no longer endure your wicked deeds and the disgusting things you did. That is why your land had become the desolate, uninhabited ruin that it is today. That is why it has become a proverbial example used in curses. You have sacrificed to other gods. You have sinned against the Lord. You have not obeyed the Lord. You have not followed his laws, his statutes, and his decrees. That is why this disaster that is evident to this day has happened to you." Then Jeremiah spoke to all the people, particularly to all the women. "Listen to the Lord's message, all you people of Judah who are in Egypt. This is what the Lord of Heaven's armies, the God of Israel, has said. You women have confirmed by your actions what you vowed with your lips. You said, we will certainly carry out our vows to sacrifice and pour out drink offerings to the Queen of Heaven. Well, then fulfill your vows. Carry them out. But listen to the Lord's message, all you people of Judah who are living in the land of Egypt. The Lord says, I hereby swear by my own great name that none of the people of Judah who are living anywhere in Egypt will ever again invoke my name in their oaths. Never again will any of them use it in an oath saying, as surely as the sovereign Lord lives, I will indeed see to it that disaster, not prosperity, happens to them. All the people of Judah who are in the land of Egypt will die in war or from starvation until not one of them is left. Some who survive the battle will return to the land of Judah from the land of Egypt, but they will be very few indeed. Then the Judean remnant who have come to live in the land of Egypt will know whose word proves true, mine or theirs. Moreover, the Lord says, I will make something happen to prove that I will punish you in this place. I will do it so that you will know that my threats to bring disaster on you will prove true. I, the Lord, promise that I will hand Pharaoh Hophra, king of Egypt, over to his enemies who are seeking to kill him. I will do that just as surely as I handed King Zedekiah of Judah over to King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon, his enemy who was seeking to kill him. The prophet Jeremiah spoke to Baruch, son of Neriah, while he was writing down in a scroll the words that Jeremiah spoke to him. This happened in the fourth year that Jehoiakim, son of Josiah, was ruling over Judah. Jeremiah said, the Lord God of Israel has a message for you, Baruch. You have said, I feel so hopeless, for the Lord has added sorrow to my suffering. I am worn out from groaning. I can't find any rest. The Lord told Jeremiah, tell Baruch, the Lord says, I am about to tear down what I have built and to uproot what I have planted. I will do this throughout the whole earth. Are you looking for great things for yourself? Do not look for such things. For I, the Lord, affirm that I am about to bring disaster on all humanity, but I will allow you to escape with your life wherever you go. A lot happening today in our reading in the book of Jeremiah. This is the aftermath of the destruction of Jerusalem and all of the things that happen after this. Gedaliah, who is the governor of Babylon, is assassinated. And as we read this, we need to understand we're narrowing in on the people that fled to Egypt, the children of Israel, God's chosen people that fled to Egypt, and their disobedience, their dependency on false gods. And we're hearing the judgment from God upon his people. And it's important that we understand what is happening here, that God is not just being angry, as we say continuously, that God is not just spiteful, controlling, arrogant. This is God being faithful and keeping his word. But let's notice the language here in chapter 44. The God of armies, the God of Israel, says, why are you doing such an evil thing to yourself? This is what it boils down to. We like to think there's an enemy out there, a force out there that is just making his way in and messing up all of our plans. We can so quickly call it an attack from the enemy and disregard the enemy of evil within our own heart. which is our sin, which we're all capable of, which we all fall short and participate in. Evil is not a them problem. Evil is an us problem. It is a mirror problem. Until we stop and recognize that truth alone, first and foremost, in my opinion, we are spinning wheels. We are avoidant. We are naive. We are stubborn. We are prideful. Could we stop and recognize the language of God? They have done this to themselves. And at the end of the day, and at the beginning of every day, it would be good for us to remind ourselves that while we have the choice to control those around us, and we do, ultimately, we can only be responsible and accountable for our own actions at the end of every day and at the beginning of every day. We will stand before God in His judgment, either in this life or the afterlife. If we do not come into awareness in this life and repent and turn and think that everything is them and we have no part to play in this, we will get that judgment, that awareness somehow. We are reading that God brings all things hidden in the dark to the light. He has given the children of Israel every foreseeable chance to return and repent. And they have done this to their own selves. Let that be a lesson for each and every one of us as we look in the mirror of our own heart today. So Jesus, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this time together. God, our hearts, we are capable of evil. And we are naive and we are foolish if we think that we are not. We have got to make the soil of our own heart good and ready and fertile. We can only do this in order to plant good seed and grow good fruit. And our lives should be the fruit of the Spirit, of your Spirit, and not the evidence of death, of envy and jealousy and hatred and anger and revenge, deceit, gossip. We can put fruit out there, but it's not good fruit. We can put life or death out there, and we are so many times choosing death. May we be bearers, producers, influencers of life and love, and leave the judgment to you alone, God. We need your help to do this. I pray this all in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Daily Audio Bible, that is home base, that is the website, that is the free app. Take a look around if you haven't. Download the app, check out the website. Lots to do and see there. Check out the prayer wall, the community section, the resources, the shop. So much for you to do and check out if you are new. If you would like to partner with us, thank you so much to each and every one of you for each and every partnership. We could not do this without you. We're really grateful we don't have to. If you're giving by mail, DAB, P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee 37174. Or if you're utilizing the app, hit the give icon up at the top right-hand section, or look for the give icon on the website. If you need prayer, if you'd like to pray for someone that's previously called in, There are several different ways for you to do so. 800-583-2164. You have 2 minutes on the prayer line, or again, utilizing the app, hit the red circle button. When you're finished, hit submit, turn that little wheel over to chronological, and it will get to the right place. That's it for me today. I'm Jill. We turn the page together tomorrow. I love you all. Until then, love one another.
Good morning, DABC family. Maria from Mississippi, what a prayer. That was such a perfect prayer that hit everything that any of us would need to have prayer over. Way to go. That was just like amazing. And thank you. Thank you so much for calling in and praying over all of us. It was amazing. I just also want to share some praise reports. I've been part of DAB since I think my youngest was maybe 3, and he's 18 now, going off to college. And both of my boys struggled with lots of issues in school. And I just want to encourage all the parents out there, just keep praying, keep doing what you're supposed to be doing, because God is going to work it all out. So we took our youngest to school at Savannah State, and he's got a zero balance on the first day of college for this year, because he ended up with 2 scholarships that covered every single thing. Praise God. He's amazing. Our other son, he had scholarships as well. He's now a police officer with the Atlanta Police Department. He got recognized as Officer of the Month, and he's only been on the force. It'll be 2 years he got out of the academy this month. So just super proud of these guys, but raising them and as a mom wanting the best for them, it was hard sometimes. So I love you guys, and I'm praying over everyone the same way Maria is praying. Love you guys. Bye.
This is God's Little Gardener in Texas, and I'm calling to pray for the Redeemed Ones, grand twins, and her daughter and son-in-law, her loving and caring for them as their parents. Lord, we just ask that you would surround this family in your peace and your love. You tell us where 2 or 3 are gathered in your name, you will grant what we ask according to your will. And Lord, we're praying your will be done. Father, in this family's life, would you strengthen and encourage and renew the spirit of mom and dad on those hard times? Lord, would you surround and wrap up tangibly the twins' hearts and minds and feelings to know they are secure, that they are well-loved, that you love them first and foremost, and their parents love them, want them, and are doing the very best for them. Father, give them encouragement. Take away all the scars from their hearts and minds from the past before they were with this family. And Lord, with their forever family, let the healing and balm from this love and this loving grandmother, loving parents. Parents, let them be after your own heart in every situation, Lord. Surround them with believers to encourage and support them, Lord. And Father, we ask you would renew the minds and hearts of the twins, that they would be growing up with great memories to take forward, to be great people, to shine your light to others. Lord, knowing that they are loved, wholly loved by you and by their families. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Hello, this is Lydia from Lincoln, Kansas. Thank you so much, Herring family, for the 20 years that you've put God's word out there on the airwaves all over the world. Thank you. God is with you. I want to request prayer for our 29-year-old daughter, Susie, again. She's asked for prayer. She's lived with a guy helping him to raise his 3 out of 4 kids part-time custody for 5 years, and she's just ready. Lots of issues, and she is ready to leave, but she doesn't know for sure what she ought to do. God has a plan and will. They need Jesus. Thank you so much for your prayers. Goodbye.